Hey, welcome to Real Talk for Real People with Coach Rodney Young. This episode is sponsored by the Virtuous Lens Photography. Now, are you ready? Are you really ready for Real Talk? Well, here's your host, Coach Young.
Yo, this is your friendly neighborhood coach. I'm back at it. Real talk for real people is live and on the air.
Give me that.
Absolutely, you can give me that.
If it's mine, if it's good for me, give me that. I want it all. Give me that Bible. Give me that mic. I'll drop Jesus in it. Wait so we can make a disciple. Can't surpass Christ. There's no taking his title. A passion for Christ. I'll have you praying for revival. Give me my city. Yeah, give me that. Less fish. Gospel of peace. Yeah, you can give me that. Fresh kicks. Give me that. Rest with your blessing, Lord. I'm desperate. You gave me your life. So I look forward to my exit. I used to be a punk kid. Used to want to run with.
Yo, y'all know who this is. This is your friendly neighborhood coach. I'm not going to give you all the call signs. Y'all been getting them now for 12, 13 episodes. Y'all know how to get in touch with me through Facebook, through Instagram. My phone number is 623-225-5635. Y'all know how to get a hold of me, man. I am so glad to be back at it, man. I've been on a hiatus for a little while, trying to get refreshed, recharged, and I am back, and I'm starting this new season. I'm just so happy for season two, because season one was great. We had some great talks, some great interviews, and I look forward to some more great interviews during this time. So, but today, kicking off season two of Real Talk for Real People, I had an opportunity today to talk to an actor by the name of Alan Callion Mastin. And we talked about how to be a man in Hollywood, how to be a husband, being an actor, roles that he's had to turn down because of his faith, things that he had to think twice about because of his family. And I don't want to belabor it too long. I want you guys to get this interview. So the next voice that you will hear is the interview that I had with Alan Callion Mastin. And then when I am done, of course, y'all know I got to drop that top 10 for y'all. So here we go. Yo, what is up, everybody? This is your coach, man. This is Real Talk for Real People. I am sitting here, man. I'm so happy, man. I'm sitting here with my brother, Alan Callion Mastin. He is an aspiring actor. I'm speaking this in his life. Entrepreneur, millionaire, all these things. And I'm going to speak into him now. He is an absolute treasure to be around. He keeps everything light, keeps everything going. And so I wanted to introduce him. Alan, welcome to Real Talk for Real People, man. I just want to let the folks know who you are. So tell the folks who Alan is.
Well, thank you, by the way, for having me on, Rod. I appreciate that. I was concerned. I was like, wait, you want to do a video interview? I look a hot mess, dude. I got a standard to upkeep. me, and it all started when I was a spark in my father's eye. He would malign and womanize. He would make outrageous statements like, I invented the walnut. Nah, man. I am one of nine siblings. Mm-hmm. Grew up in a military family, traveling the world and everything like that. And I didn't start acting until, oh gosh, about 12 years ago. I want to correct you on something. I'm not an aspiring actor, because I get paid for what I do. Aspiring means you haven't been paid to do it yet. So
I stand corrected.
We don't work for free. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's like a great project, you might, but still, mm-hmm. it's got to be some residuals, ends, okay. dividends on the back end.
Okay.
And so I started acting about 2012 was my first actual, 2010 I started acting. Mm-hmm. 2012 I started acting full time, okay. meaning that's all I did.
Okay.
You know, I've picked up, you know, jobs at fitness centers and things like that to make ends meet. But mm-hmm. basically, all I do is that's what I do. It's been an adventure because I've experienced some moderate success here and there, and I've experienced mm-hmm. some interesting things that why did I make that movie? Okay. Yeah, I made a horror movie recently, mm-hmm. one of the last films I did, and there was a shower scene in it, and the images, somebody went online and took the images from that and put it on an adult website.
So wow.
So I don't know if that's a level of success. Ooh, people looking at my body now.
Now let me ask, how did you find that out?
I was in Orlando a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. doing a gig, and someone, they were like, hey man, I saw one of your movies on like or a commercial or something that I'd done, and they Googled me mm-hmm. and they were like, is this you?
Okay.
And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, how? Huh? So yeah, wow. That's when you on the other side of the country, and you can you know, people pull you up and find you, and there's no way to get it off. There's no way to remove it because it's online now.
Right.
And as an actor, but also as someone who's in ministry, you have to be able to balance these two things. Uh-huh. You know? So you can imagine you having to be in Texas or something preaching the gospel. And then somebody pulls up your stage name and sees you on some adult
website. Right. So now knowing that, you know, when you do have the opportunity to minister, would you say that out front? Would you let it be known? Because, you know, we here to shame the devil. So would you say, hey, look, if you guys Google me, you know, this is what's going to come up because this is what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, I mean, are you going to, you know, just get in front of it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that you don't want coming up later.
Right.
Like, well, we thought you was that, because people are always, the enemy will always try to use something that you think is hidden to try to throw it against you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So for instance, Tyson Fury, mm-hmm. you know, he you know, won that fight and everything, and it's very publicized that he's saved. Mm-hmm. You know, people ask him questions, he's like, Jesus fights with me, so on and so forth.
Right.
And now they're trying to say that he's using performance enhancing drugs to win.
Okay.
You know, if he did, it doesn't change the fact that he's a believer.
Right.
But it's something that you got to deal with immediately. So,
exactly.
It's like when I had to tell my wife. She's like, wait, you what? Let me see. No. You don't need to see.
Wow.
Because truth be told, I wasn't supposed to do the movie anyway.
Wow. And for those who don't know, Alan's wife, Tyree, is my spiritual sister. I know how she is, and so I can imagine him sharing this with her, because she is very, very protective of her husband, and I know this. And so, shout out to Tyree. Now, you being an actor, you know, one of the questions that I wanted to ask was, what is the difference now being an actor when you were single and being an actor now being married? You and Tyree have been married how long now?
About a year and a couple months.
A year and a couple of months.
A year and a half, just about.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you went from single, no kids, to married, and now have a son, Lawrence.
13.
You know, 13 years old. And how is that juggling that compared to when you were single? What's the difference?
So, when you're single mm-hmm. and you're doing this gig, you can do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I was sent out to Colombia mm-hmm. to do a gig, mm-hmm. and out in Colombia, your boy was hot stuff. They was like, "Are you married?" I was like, "Yes." "Not in Colombia. You could stay here and get married in Colombia to me." Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had I been single, mm-hmm. would I have gotten myself in some trouble? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not even gonna lie. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'd have been all up in Cartagena getting it.
Okay.
Because they was offering it. And okay. I'm just gonna be real.
Right. That's, you know, that's what I want you to be. Real talk, baby.
You know, and it, you got a bunch of beautiful island women just throwing it at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say no.
Okay.
But one of the things that, like, now being married in that vein, it's just stuff you can't do. Or it's like Paul said. He said the things that I like, there are things that I want to do that I just
right.
You know, I have to think about. I think about her.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this young man that I'm raising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to think about my image. Especially, okay, you married, you a man of God, and you know, right. You gotta think about that.
Right.
You know, I was working for the company that sent me out there to do this gig for them,
mm-hmm.
brought me on to be their dating coach.
Okay.
You know, and so they had me doing these dating videos, mm-hmm. really what they call this pickup videos.
Okay.
Called. Mm-hmm. And while I was hiring actresses, let's be honest, okay. to do it, because I wasn't gonna go out in public and with a hidden camera and just get women's numbers randomly.
Right.
Could
right.
I do it? Yeah. Your boy got game like that.
Okay.
However, nah, man. Mm-hmm. And even in that, I had to stop working for the company.
Okay.
Because of the way it looks.
Okay. Okay.
And that's the biggest thing, is you've got a lifestyle that you can live if you're single and you're acting, that no one really cares what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney was single for years.
Right.
You know, for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most eligible bachelors in Hollywood. He could date whoever he wanted to date, whenever he wanted to date him, do whatever he wanted to do, nobody said anything.
Right.
Once he got married, the whole scheme changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to think about these other people. But it's right. also the same thing, like, I'm not a super successful actor. Mm-hmm. You know, I make, you know.
Not yet.
Not yet, but.
Yeah. We're going to speak that into existence.
Whereas before, I could take a gig for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that and be okay with it. I can't do that now. I have to think about, okay, is this worth it for me to go
mm-hmm.
and earn this little bit of money and bring this home?
Right.
You got to think about that. You also have to think about, okay, golly, man, my wife is fitting most of the bills right now,
mm-hmm.
which gives you a whole different level of issues, because you're thinking to yourself, my God, what type of man has his wife covering the bills?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even if you're pursuing a dream. So there's all these different variables that are involved. You get to the point where you're like, you know what, I'm gonna quit and just get a regular desk job.
Right.
Thank God she is the type of person who is like, no, you ain't gonna be happy doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did that, honestly, I wouldn't be happy doing that, and I would wind up doing something stupid to try to make myself feel capable.
Okay.
And we know what I'm talking about.
Right. You
know what I'm saying?
You right, right.
The temptation to go off and say, well, I don't feel like a man, let me go ahead and do something to make myself feel like a man.
Right.
Would arise.
Right.
And then I would wind up taking that out on her.
Mm-hmm.
So is it difficult to balance the two, out of the three or four? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, there's stuff I can't take no more.
Right.
There's certain roles I can't take just because she'd be like, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing what? It's a stage kiss, babe. No. A stage kiss is when you get down on your hands and knees and kiss the stage. Mwah. You're kissing
right.
a person.
Right.
A chick. A fine chick.
Right.
So it's different. You got to think about these things, because anytime you make a film, there's a spirit that attaches itself to that film.
Of course.
So when I did a horror film called Water, when I was done with that movie, for weeks afterwards, I felt like I was drowning.
Okay.
And the movie was about ghosts in the water and demons. And the character got possessed by this ghost and all this stuff. And they tried to get me to do a scene where I was kissing a man. I was like, man, come on.
Oh, wow.
And you really got to consider that stuff. You're not only bringing, you run the risk of bringing something spiritual into your house, and you don't want to do that, you know. So I try to talk with her about every role I take and say, hey, what do you think? But at the same time, I have to be mindful that she's a woman and she's going to respond how she's going to respond.
Right.
You know, it could be perfectly innocent. She's like, no, I want you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like that type of movie. I'm like, look. They gonna pay me $15,000 to kiss this girl. I'm kissing her.
So, Alan, let me ask you this. What roles or things have you turned down since being married that you knew that if you were single that you would have accepted? Like, give me some examples.
So, the rules that I try to tear down now, whereas before, if someone would, you know, if it's bloody, violent, if it's explicitly sexual, I wouldn't have cared. I'd have taken it because I'm going to get paid. And the big thing about this industry is the more work you do, there's something called IMDb, right?
Yeah.
And if you've got things that say, you want to have as many things as possible that say, in production, in post-production, in pre-production. Okay. That means you're about to start filming, you are filming it, or you have filmed it. Mm-hmm. That means you're constantly working. Okay. Constantly working.
Okay.
Make sure what's called a star meter go up, and people look at that and say, well, yeah, other people want them. So, you know, it's like the panic thing. Everybody wants to buy all the groceries.
Right.
So other people are buying you. Right. We'll buy too.
Right.
So I've turned down... things that were going to keep me away for too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say, hey, we want you to film this, but it's going, you're going to be working 15-hour days for the next month and a half, and it's in wherever it's at.
Right.
Not that I would personally mind doing it, but I know my family would have an issue with that.
Right.
And unless I can bring them with me, it makes it difficult.
Okay.
You know, again, things that have been explicitly sexual, or, you know, you'll be on a set and the director will say, hey, you know, it would be really great if we did this. Like, I was doing one piece and they were like, you know, well, what we want to do is we want the big exposure in this to be that the woman you've been dating and having these intimate scenes with is a transgender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're going to cast a transgender. You won't even know it until the end. Yeah, I can't do that.
Okay.
I can't do that. I'm okay with a kissing scene, but I had to turn down a film called Exposures, and then this amazing script, but it had a couple of really strong sex scenes.
Okay.
And I'm okay with a sex scene as long as it feeds the story. Not just this gratuitous sex, just to be this was like Cinemax late night 1995.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Well, there's no reason for me to do this.
Okay.
You know, whereas if I was single, I'd be like, whatever, I don't care. I'm gonna make this money. I'm gonna do this scene. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to consider her, and I have to consider this young man. I have to consider, you know, my boy, because having been addicted to pornography and things like that, I don't want him to see me doing that and say, oh, well, you do it on TV.
Right, okay.
What's wrong with me doing it?
Right.
What's wrong with me doing it? I'm not even doing it on TV. I'm doing it at somewhere, you know, somewhere private.
Right.
You know,
right,
so things like that. Things that are extremely demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't do them. Whereas I would have done them before.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do them now because I got to think about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think about... she always says to me, you represent me and I represent you.
Right.
Oh, that's right. This is radio. Mm-hmm. I just did the vomit thing where you stick your finger in your mouth.
And folks, by the way, all the noise that you hear right now, we're actually sitting on my balcony and we're just talking right now, so because it's a lovely night here, and I wanted to take advantage. And,
it is beautiful. I mean, the wind is blowing,
and Alan is a very busy man, so I had to take advantage of the time when I can. So if you hear sounds in the background, don't be alarmed. It's just us out here. We're just talking. So let me ask you this: your faith in film, how does that work?
Again, that's a rough one.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I was working for a company and they made me, basically they made me like their Hitch, like Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Holding for sound.
Yeah.
Holding for sound.
Yeah, let me do this. Hold on.
No.
So, Alan, let me ask you this question. Faith and film, how do you work that out? I mean, you being a man of faith, you know, and then, you know, working, and we know that Hollywood can be the most demonic and
oh, Jesus.
And sometimes, and not even sometimes, most of the time, most corrupt
you know, industry is the film industry, and it's your faith, you know, that you wear on your sleeve. How are you able to manage being able to do these movies and do these motion pictures and still remain that man of God and still remain true to, you know, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How do you manage that? I mean, I know with your wife, I know how strong her faith is. And I know she's definitely a pit bull in the spirit, always has been. But for you, how is it that you can manage being that man of God and still doing these motion pictures?
That's a tough one, because you gotta eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll answer this question two ways.
Okay.
I have to learn to let the Holy Spirit guide what roles I get and what roles I don't get.
Okay.
And to listen if God says, yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
Do we always listen to that? No. Mm-hmm. But again, I was working for a company, because I do movies, I do TV shows, I do hosting, I do all types of things. They all fall into the realm of this acting thing. Mm-hmm. I was working for a company, and I was their dating guy. Mm-hmm. You know, when I would do these videos online, and you can still find them, mm-hmm. you know, online,
right.
About dating and about how to get numbers and all these other things. And for me, it was all acting. It was all a performance.
Mm-hmm.
But it still reflects everything we do as men of faith reflects how people see us.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't, but, I mean, it shouldn't and it should. Mm-hmm. It's always like, look, this is a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you still did it, you know. Mm-hmm. I had to quit that job.
Okay.
I had to just walk away. I didn't want to, because it was really the only consistent income I had coming in.
Right.
I think people don't get that. Sometimes they think, well, they can Google you and you pop up and you 500 or 600 pages on Google,
right.
But you popping. No, that's not what this is.
Right.
I'm out there grinding like every day trying to find work.
Mm-hmm.
So to walk away from a solid $1,500, $2,000 a month,
right.
For just doing 10 videos a month.
Mm-hmm.
10 5-minute videos a month, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I kept doing them, and I kept doing them, and then it got to the point where I booked an actress for one of them, and we wound up kissing.
Okay.
And
okay.
The editor extended that kiss to like a 2-minute kiss.
Wow.
Bunch of views, which editing is magic.
Okay.
Bunch of views. Okay. I had people in my inbox on Instagram, mm-hmm. my inbox on Messenger,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding me, emailing me, all this jazz.
Okay.
And I was like, well, dang, I'm gonna have to stop doing this. And I had to tell them, I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's gonna reflect badly on me.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing is, Tyree, who never watched the show,
mm-hmm.
wound up, one of those videos popped because she follows my stage name.
Right.
One of those videos popped up in her feed on YouTube. So one day she comes home, she calls me, mm-hmm. gets, I'm coming home early. Mm-hmm. What's going on? Who is this chicken? Why are you kissing her all over YouTube?
Wow. Okay.
Remember, you remember a couple weeks ago, remember, I said that I wasn't going to be able to do this no more.
Right.
I mean, it was just acting. It was a performance. You know, I paid her, you know.
Right. Okay.
So imagine having to explain that, but in front of a crowd of people, if you're teaching or speaking mm-hmm. in the, you know, the gospel or what have you.
Right.
So I've had to be really mindful about that.
Okay.
And even try to refocus my career path to projects and films that better reflect my faith.
Okay.
Because whether we accept it or not, the things that, even if you're doing it on film, you're still doing it.
Right.
And these things, they do affect you. They do change your personality. I'm a character actor.
Mm-hmm.
and a method actor. So that means when I become a character, I become that character.
Right.
I spend a lot of time working on the voice, the accent, the movements, the way the eyes, everything. I build this character. It's like building a different personality.
Exactly. Okay.
And it affects you. Mm-hmm. It does affect you. So I had to be very mindful about that. Even to the point to say, okay, God, if you tell me, because this is my baby, I love doing this. Mm-hmm. If it has to be like an Isaac and I have to put it on the altar and crucify and sacrifice it, mm-hmm. then I will. Like, it's that serious. Mm-hmm. You know, one, both of them require so much of me. Right. So if he's like, look, I need you to do this and stop acting, mm-hmm. I'm just going to stop acting.
Okay.
So I've had to turn down work. I haven't worked. Mm-hmm. The last actual decent acting job I had was for Microsoft before I went to Belgium last year.
Okay.
And that was a good chunk of change. But it wasn't one that I auditioned for.
Okay.
Like, I've been getting jobs. Job with Sony I got.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't audition for it. It just kind of landed in my lap.
Okay.
Microsoft. Someone just called me.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, hey, we heard about you. You want a job? Yes, thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
And so making that commitment, it does just change the type of roles that I can go out for, the type of roles that I can get. But for me, I say this by faith. For me, it's better to have the peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, in some ways, it's better to have the money
right.
without the peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But especially having people to take care of.
Right.
But right now, the peace of mind and knowing that I'm not opening myself up to anything, mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to worry that someone's watching something I made and is being led down some wrong path.
Okay.
You know, because we don't, the amount of influence that media and television and entertainment have mm-hmm. is huge. It shapes our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It shapes our world.
Right.
It shapes our families. And the responsibility that has.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got being a man of faith, that's responsibility that
right.
shapes worlds and families and cultures. And then television and film, that shapes. So you've got to come in both ways. You have to be able to make a decision
mm-hmm.
which is going to be more important.
So being a man of faith, even during those times that you may not be working, what gets you through? I mean, you know, let's say we have, you know, I may have actors or actresses that are trying to get to that level and they're not getting jobs and it's getting rough, it's getting hard. What has made you sustain your path and what you're doing, even on those thin months or those thin days when you don't have any work? And you know, what keeps you motivated? What keeps you going? What keeps you focused?
No, that's a good question, because right now with this whole panic inducing
mm-hmm.
I'm not even gonna call it a pandemic, because it's not but I've lost, I had three jobs this month
mm-hmm.
that just got shut down.
Okay.
Because they're like, nope, a film set has anywhere between 20 and 300 people on
mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
we're not doing it.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the news right now, or Hollywood news right now, you see Batman is canceled, Wonder Woman's canceled. They ain't filming nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They've shut everything down because okay. they're real. Like, what we want, we don't want anything right. bad to happen.
Right.
It's a respiratory infection. Can't correct. Anyway, what I've had to find, what I found for me, because it does get hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this business, there are times when everybody wants you,
mm-hmm.
and then there are times when nobody wants.
Okay.
They're very thin. You're like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, consider who was it? The guy who played Elvin or whatever in the Cosby Show.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sandra's husband.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somebody took a picture of him. He was working at Sprouts.
Yeah, I remember that.
On a register, and someone took a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like really making fun of him. He used to be somebody so big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that picture wound up getting him some work, mm-hmm. you know, some permanent work with Tyler mm-hmm. Perry, so praise mm-hmm. God. But what I think you find, one of the biggest things to deal with, first of all, is your own personal identity. Mm-hmm. If you are nothing without film, mm-hmm. if you are nothing without acting, then you're going to have a hard time.
Right, right.
Because that's how you build your identity. And that was a struggle for me, because that is what I built my identity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was me.
Right.
This is what I do. This is all I do. I can't do nothing else.
Right, right.
And it's not that I can't do anything else. This is what I'm good at. Like, right. I'm really good at this. Humbling. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step is where you find your identity at. Because if you find your identity in this, just like someone who finds their identity in their regular job, mm-hmm. and let's say you work for an investment firm and you're making tens of millions of dollars a week, whatever, mm-hmm. investing. If that goes away, these are the people that we find who jump off of buildings, who kill themselves because right, their portfolio went to zero. Right, right. That's their identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they were. So I've had to remember to find my identity in Christ.
Okay.
That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing who you are outside of this, that this is just a gig you're doing,
right.
a job.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is, you're still that creative person, you have to create.
Okay.
I don't care if you're drawing, if mm-hmm. you're painting, if you're writing, I write a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be up middle and just creating, just
right.
writing things.
Right.
Coming up with stuff in my head, jotting things down, mm-hmm. recording things,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because you have to keep creating.
Right.
You have to keep creating. And if you don't create, that's another thing. Because that's being creative. Is definitely a gift from God, and if we don't utilize it, yeah, you will go nuts
mm-hmm.
because you got to get it out.
Okay.
And if you don't get it out, it'll cause problems. So, to feed that need to perform, I create.
Okay.
And some people say, "Well, being able to create your own stuff." I'm an elder millennial,
mm-hmm.
like I'm 38, so YouTube and stuff wasn't big when I was a teenager. It just right. wasn't. That right. didn't happen until I got in my late, 30. Mm-hmm. And that's all happened in the last 10 or 12 years.
Right.
You know, had it been something that was around when I was younger, I probably would have gotten involved in it. Okay. Now I'm just like, nah. But I still find ways to be creative.
Okay.
You know, I still try to find ways to let that artistic expression out. So if that means doing a stage production, if that means... going to an acting class, if that mm-hmm. means even just auditioning for something
mm-hmm.
and being able to shape and form a perfect audition,
okay.
it still feeds the need. Mm-hmm. So if it's thin out there, because it can be, especially right now, it can be thin out there. Especially, I'm a black guy in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and so it can be really difficult to book work,
right.
because okay. the demographic is Latinos and Caucasians. Mm-hmm. That's the demographic. That's what they cast.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with. It really has everything to do with skin color, because it's got to do with who's going to watch these adverts, who's going to watch this film.
Right.
The people who live there more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think being able to have a secure identity of who you are outside of the career, outside of acting, if that's what you do, or right. anything you do, really.
Right.
And then finding ways to scratch that itch. Because if you're an entertainer, you've got to entertain. If you're a ball player, you got to play ball.
Right.
You know, great example, C.D. Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Heart problems and all that. Mm-hmm. But he's a lifter.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he does. This is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So he get a new heart, go back to the gym.
Right.
Yo, you just got your new heart. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Well, that's just, it's part of who he is.
Right.
And, you know, it's just part of who he is. So
wow.
That would be my answer.
There. Wow. Final question, man. This is, you're dropping some nuggets, man. And I hope everybody is getting, you know, this information like it's being given. For those young actors and actresses, what advice do you have for them as they're plugging along, as they're chugging along? Or you may have those that just really want to give up, you know, what advice would you give them by some of the experiences that you have had?
First thing is, I would say, make sure this is what you're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because this isn't, it's not an easy job.
Okay.
And if it's what you're here to do, then you can do it and you'll have peace in it. If it's not, you're constantly going to be stressed about it.
Okay.
If it's what you're here to do, you don't have to be famous doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. The people whose faces you know are the top 1 or 2% of entertainers.
Right.
You know, I met a guy in Atlanta, and you would never know his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he does independent films all the time. And he's like, I make a cool $3-4 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I live nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't know his name.
Okay.
So once you figure out if this is what you're here to do or not, then you need to decide, do I want people to know my name, or do I just want to be successful? Do I want to be famous, or do I just want to be successful? And that's the problem we face with our generation currently, with our world. Everybody wants to be a social media sensation. Everybody wants to be an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be this and that. Honestly, I just want to be able to feed my family and pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to say, hey, babe, let's go to California and go to say, and not worry about it.
Right.
You know, let's go, you know, wherever we're going and not stress about it.
Mm-hmm.
That everything's taken care of. I want to be able to pay for my son's education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's do that and not worry about it.
Right.
Does it take a decent amount of money? Yeah, but it doesn't take all the money in the world. I don't have to be world famous.
Okay.
There was a movie called Crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in the 1980s. Great film. Should be remade. And one of the characters is asked, he says, well, what's... He says, the king asks him... He asks the king, why should I follow you to the Black Fortress? And the king says, for fame and fortune. He mm-hmm. says, fortune, I've got it. Freedom, I've got that too. Fame, don't want it. It's an empty purse.
Mm-hmm.
Seek it, go mad. Eat it, go hungry. Drink it, and go thirsty. No mm-hmm. more fame. Fame is not, I just want to succeed.
Okay.
So whatever you deem success as,
okay,
you can compromise a whole lot in this business for success. A whole lot. You can compromise your ethics, your morals. You can do things that you find yourself never doing just so you can be in the room with somebody and they can say, yes, we'll accept you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't accept me as I am, like Tyler Perry once told a production company, if you don't want my Jesus, you don't want me.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. So, first of all, decide if this is this what you're here to do?
Mm-hmm.
And what level do you want to do it at? Once you've got that down, whether you want to be famous or you just want to be successful in this, you then have to decide, you have to treat this craft like it's a masterwork.
Okay.
There's nothing I hate more than watching a film and everybody, it doesn't take a great actor to recognize a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
If people suck on camera, they suck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how fine you are.
Right.
Make sure that you're good at your craft. Study it. Watch television. Watch films. Study acting books. Do theater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in this. Television makes you rich. Movies make you famous. Theater makes you good.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Roberts is a great film actor. She's terrible on stage.
Wow.
She just doesn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that I tend to look up to, the Morgan Freemans, the Denzel Washingtons, the Anthony Hopkins, the Ian McKellens, when they're not doing a movie, the Kenneth Branaghs, they're on stage.
Okay.
Doing stage work.
Mm-hmm.
Perfecting the craft.
Okay.
As an actor, the tools of our trade are the mechanisms that trigger human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to play the part so well that you can convince somebody on the street that this is really who you are.
Wow.
And then the other really big thing that I would say is, when you're going to auditions, remember they're there to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go into that audition room nervous as heck.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go see these four people.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not there to see them. They're there to see you.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want to see 1,000 people. They want the first person that walks in to be the perfect person, and they want it. But that's it. That's the person we need. Everybody else can go home now. Mm-hmm. That's literally what they want to do.
Okay.
Literally.
Okay.
And if you nail it,
boom, you've got the role. I did a film, it was a video game called Borderlands. Mm-hmm. And I did a film based on that video game. Mm-hmm. And they had already booked somebody for the role. Mm-hmm. They already decided they were going to book who they were going to book for it. Mm-hmm. But they let me come in anyway.
Okay.
I came in, last person they saw, and they were like, oh, dang. Okay. And it wasn't until later that I found out that they wound up booking me mm-hmm. for that part, you know. Or, for example, I got booked for a play, The Whipping Man or The Whipping Boy, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a three-leg play, mm-hmm. and I got booked for it. I was given the script. In 3 weeks, I was off book. They called me 2 weeks before rehearsal started and said, well, we gave the role to somebody else.
Okay.
Happens all the time.
Okay.
They called me 2 weeks before production start, before the show started, mm-hmm. and said, you know, we were giving this other guy a shot. He's not as good as you. It's not going to work out with him. Can you take this part? Now, I had to tell them no. Okay. Because at this point, it's been in 6 weeks. I haven't looked at the script in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's not in there anymore, you know?
Okay.
But the idea that I'm trying to paint for you here is that my level of excellence was so high that they knew we can call him. And you know what? We made a mistake. And that happens to me a lot, where people will say, dang, we should have given you a bigger part. You're the best actor on set. Mm-hmm. I know I am. But you don't walk around like that.
Okay.
You don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder. I'm the right. best there is. No.
Right.
You come in, you do your work. When Anthony Hopkins did Silence of the Lambs, he was on set. He was on camera for, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes of that movie and wound up getting the Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Mm-hmm. Just on set for 10, 15 minutes of the movie, because his performance was so amazing. When you think about Silence of the Lambs, you don't think about anybody else that was in it. Mm-hmm. You think about Anthony Hopkins.
Exactly. I can't even name who else
was, in the movie. Anthony. Right. Oh, that's an Anthony Hopkins film. He wasn't even the main character.
Right.
He was just a small part of the film.
Right.
So, again, decide if this is what you're here to do, and you got to ask God about that. What do you mm-hmm. want me to do? Because your call might be to be in production. Mm-hmm. That might be what it is. In fact, he might ask you, I know you're good in front of the camera. I want you to be in the production office, though.
Okay.
Dang. It's like, but I'm so good in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. Yep. Get your butt in the office and start writing checks. Which means you got control. But that's the good thing. It means because you got control over the money.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So once you find out that this is the industry you're supposed to be in and what you're supposed to be doing in it, what level you're supposed to be at, and then perfect your craft. And I'd say that to anybody. I'd say that if you're a customer service representative, perfect your craft. Be good at what you do. Be so good mm-hmm. that nobody can ignore you. So good that you never have to say of yourself, dang, you know, I dialed that in.
Okay.
You know, and that happens a lot when you watch, I was watching the new Lion King movie full of these top-notch actors, and it was like they were sitting around for a table read. Mm-hmm. There was no emotion. There was nothing. It was flat.
Right.
It pissed me off.
Okay.
You got paid $5 million to read this. And your reading sucked. Mm-hmm. It really takes you up. So those would be my tips and suggestions.
Man, that is good stuff, man. So I'm gonna stop here, man. It is so much. You got to come back, man. You're gonna have to come back.
Oh, we can talk about all sorts of things. It'll be great. It'll be great.
So, how can people get a hold of Callion?
You know, Master. Honestly, I found out that I was on that adult website, I deleted everything.
Okay.
I deleted Instagram. I deleted LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I just got off of it all.
Okay.
Because it cut me that bad.
Okay.
Like, we see the news, like there was, you know, news about, oh, well, so-and-so sex tape, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Some of these things are put out for sensationalism so somebody can keep your name in their mouth because they want to be famous.
Right, okay.
You're talking about me. Any publicity is good publicity. But because I have a different standard in my life that I have to attain to, mm-hmm. that hurt me. That hurt my heart.
Okay.
Because I'm like, that really hurt my heart. So I hopped off of everything. But, I mean, you can Google me, Callion Maston, Callion Maston. I'll pop right up. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find me on, I am on Messenger. If you mm-hmm. want to message me, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, You can email me. You want to email me? Kalyan.Madsen@gmail.com. That's fine with me.
There we go.
And we can chat. Like, mm-hmm. I'm totally open to chat with people. Completely. Mm-hmm. You know. But I've had to step back from the social media stuff personally. Which, again, that's another key thing. People think that Dwayne Johnson is really following them. He's not.
Right.
They think Scarlett Johansson and all these other people are really following them. Mm-hmm. They're not. That is a marketing company that is doing their posts for them.
Right.
They're not sharing their actual real life with you.
Right.
You
right.
know. They well, he posted about his baby. Sure did. You know, he took a picture, sent it to his publicist. His publicist sent it out, and you're liking it and commenting on it and mm-hmm. everything like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a reality to that. I am. Mentioning George Clooney again, something he had said, he was like, I'm a private citizen. Mm-hmm. And I don't need everything about my life on everything because I'm in front of everybody already anyway.
Right.
Everywhere I go, there's a camera, mm-hmm. there's a this, there's a that. Like, Michael Jackson was one of the biggest stars on the planet. Mm-hmm. Doing this, even at this small level, I understand why you would become recluse mm. and you wouldn't want people just all up in your face all the time. I've gone out to do things. I had one woman stop me and was like, can you sign my boobs? I love your, wow. I had a talk show. I love your talk show.
Wow.
Like, it first is flattering and then it's just like, well, dang, how many boobs can I sign? Like, golly. Like, it takes something away from you. I'm a bubbly, entertaining person,
mm-hmm.
and people would think that if they hang around with me, it's just a big, fun party all the time. It's not. You come over, I'm probably going to hand you a book, and we're going to talk about God right. or something like right, that. Because right. that's just, right. I have to unplug. People think I don't unplug. I do mm-hmm. unplug. So, you know, you can take a look at me. I'm on YouTube. You can okay. find me on YouTube. But Kalyan, just YouTube, Kalyan Madsen, that's my YouTube page. So you can find me there. You okay. can message me there. That's really, I think, the only social media I have.
Okay.
We've got a couple of projects coming up. A couple of Christian short films that I'm producing. So it's things in the pipeline that are coming. It's just patience for them to come.
You know? Right, right. Well, also, if you want to get a hold of him, you can message me.
Oh, yeah, you can message this guy.
Yeah, you can message me, and I will get the information to him. Just know that all the information that he has shared, if you come in with some nonsense, his wife is a pit bull. I'm saying this again to you, that his wife is a pit bull. So don't come at him with no nonsense. But seriously, I want to thank you, Alan, for taking some time out with me, man, and sharing with the people your story and what you've been through. And like I said again, guys, we're sitting on the balcony and we're just chopping it up, you know, so any noise that you hear in the background, that's just the natural noise of where we stay. So but thank you again, brother. I appreciate you. And guys, I will be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. I just want to thank Alan Kalyan Madsen for taking some time with us and time with me and sharing some of his insights about how to be a husband in the business and how to make decisions, you know, based on your faith. And so I want to thank him again for coming on the program. But y'all know me. I got to give y'all the top 10 and through everything that's going on in the world today. There's so many things that will cause you to lose your focus. And so I want to give you the top 10 things that you need to do to stay focused. And I'm going to listen to this closely because, you know, there are times where I lose focus and I just have to be transparent with you, team. It's time where things happen in our lives and we lose the sight of keeping the main thing the main thing. And so I'm going to give you top 10 things that you can do to keep your focus. Okay. So here we go. Number one, get rid of distractions. The things that come in front of you sometimes that don't even have anything to do with you, but try to stop your forward momentum and stop you from getting to where you need to be. You have to eliminate those things. You got to move them. Okay. Number two is, take some time out for yourself.
sometimes you just got to get away. Even Jesus went up on the mountain. Okay. Sometimes you just got to get away and get your focus. I know for me recently, you know, my wife has been real great. She tells me sometimes when I get distracted or I may have some angst or anxiety, just to take a walk. And I realize that that clears my mind. It also makes me feel better. So sometimes you got to get into your secret place. You got to get into get away from things sometimes and just get your focus back. You just got to breathe. Number three, just breathe. Take some time. I mean, there are actual videos on YouTube where you can do deep breathing exercises when you're in your quiet place just to breathe. Because sometimes you get distracted. Sometimes there's anxiety. Sometimes there's frustration. And you can't focus. And so when you have trouble focusing, you've got to get to a place and just breathe. I have a thing and it's called stop, breathe, receive, and respond. Even in stressful situations, you got to stop. You got to take a deep breath. You got to listen to God, you know, take in what he says, and then you respond. Sometimes your response is generally you don't say anything. So number four, you need to put a lock on your social media. Yes, put a lock on your social media, because these things distract you so much. Is you feel like you have to respond to people who say things on Facebook that really don't have anything to do with you, or you got to put this post up. And don't get me wrong, I love social media. I love being on social media. But there are some times where I have to get away from social media. That's why Real Talk for Real People took a couple week hiatus, which I hated to do that, guys. But I needed to. I needed to get away, not only just to refresh and get new content, but to be able to take care of myself and my mental health. And a lot of times we sacrifice our mental health and our time with ourselves for something else. And we shouldn't be doing that. That takes away from our purpose. Number five, fuel your body, exercise, eat the right things, you know, drink some tea, take some, you know, those things in combination will bring your focus back, will bring your eyesight back. And it is key essential. Number six, get enough sleep. This is something team that Coach Young has been struggling with, and I'm working through it. Okay, in Jesus' name, I'm working through it. We have to get enough sleep. 6 to 8 hours is about as much time as you need. If you're sleeping past 8 hours, then that's too much. Then you find yourself getting up and you're fatigued and you have brain fog and things of that nature. So you got to take time and get your proper rest. Now, like I said, I'm working on it now. I'm going through a span where I was having trouble sleeping, but I see why. There are times, and team, I need you to understand, if you're sitting up on your computers all night, it stimulates your brain and you're not going to be able to go to sleep. So you need to shut that stuff off after a certain time. You need to make sure your room is completely dark and that you're comfortable how you're laying. Sleep is very crucial. Because even in this season, if you're not getting enough sleep, your immune system will break down. But that's a totally different subject that we can get into at a later time. So number six, get enough sleep. Number seven, set a goal of what you want to accomplish each day. If you're sitting around and you're not doing anything, your mind starts to wander and it starts to work in negative ways. And so you got to try to keep yourself busy. Keep yourself moving, keep yourself in motion, keep your mind going. Okay. So set a smart goal, set a goal that you know that you're going to be able to achieve for that day. All right. Number eight, take a mindful minute. Now, I learned this, the last place that I was working, and, I learned this through a lady by the name of Chelsea Charlton. First I thought it was crazy. But taking a mindful minute is very beneficial in your focus. Focus on your breathing. Focus on your heartbeat. Focus on sounds in your room or wherever you are. just take a minute, deep breathe, as we talked before, and just focus. Get yourself back in alignment, okay? So take a minute, all right? Number nine, similar to setting a goal, make a to-do list for your day. What it is that you're going to do, and go ahead and follow those tasks and make sure those tasks are accomplished. You should have something that you should be accomplishing every single day. Even in the midst of what's going on in the world today, people in the house, locked up in the house, whatever, you have to still set goals. Okay, if that goal is just to finish an ebook, which that's on my list, that's something that you need to focus on doing. And number 10, make sure that you have focused, that you are determined, that you are breathing, that you are receiving, and that you are accomplishing your task. Okay? That's the bottom line, is making sure that those things that you have set in place, that you're accomplishing those things. So remember, if you haven't learned anything from me today, just know that greatness is inside of you. It just has to come out. And as long as you remain focused and keeping the main thing, victory will be won. Hey guys, my time is up. But I want to thank you for joining me for another episode of Real Talk for Real People. I hope that this message touched you. I hope that your week is blessed. And just know that you can be the best you possible as long as you take that first step forward. Join me next week for another episode. So until then, remember this. Whenever you talk to someone, make sure to keep it real. I'll see you later.